Amen. We serve a good God. Our God is alive. He is alive forevermore. Do you know that some people serve gods that are not living? Do you know that some people serve gods that are made by man? Some people serve God that exists only in their imagination, that has no power to save or to deliver. But we serve a living God. That God whom you serve will deliver you today in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time. In particular, we thank you, O God, for the visitation of the Holy Spirit. Because your hand has been mighty upon your church, and your faithfulness has been evident, O God. Lord, we return all the glory to you, O God. And we say, let no man glory before you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the wonderful things you are doing, O Lord. Things that no man can do. Answers that doctors don't have. Lord, you continue to show your faithfulness as we hold on to you, O God. My Lord and my God, I pray that you will transfer your people from death to life from today in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone who will trust in your word, everyone who will trust in your word, O God, my Lord and my God, you have never been known to disappoint, never been known to put to shame. Because the psalmist says, once I was young and now I am old, I've never seen the righteous beg, righteous forsaken, or his seed beg for bread. Lord, so shall it be that your word will be true in our lives in Jesus' name. Indeed, we shall not be forsaken in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. We are talking about from death to life. From death to life. Somebody is being relocated from death to life today in Jesus' name. It's just so wonderful that the children of God have been given, you know, testimonies of the faithfulness of God. Many of us may not appreciate that powerful testimony given by our brother there. You know, he was at the point of disillusionment. He was at a point where he had no help. He knew no one. And God arose for his sake. God is still arising for the sake of his people. Look, some people may choose to do it the hard way. But when you know the Lord, you can do it the God way. And he will be your answer to every situation in Jesus' name. From death to life. Or do we want to think of the testimony that our sister has just given? Be sure that they had the correct diagnosis. It was confirmed. But to the glory of God, when last week she went back to check the histopathology result, they said there was no cancer cell there anymore. The tissue they took out, there was no cancer there. Which means by the time the surgeon was taking out the thyroid, it's gone. And the Lord will do it in your life in Jesus' name. Everything that exalts itself and contend with your God. Some people want to think that God doesn't answer prayer anymore. Anything that will exalt itself above your God. That's why when we come to church, I say it's not a plaything. It's a serious business. With our whole life, we will serve him. And he will show us his faithfulness in Jesus' name. From death to life. Open your Bibles to John chapter 6, verse 53 to 49. It's a long passage we are going to read. This is the message that God gave me to share. Because something that is dying in somebody's life will come alive today in Jesus' name. From death to life. John 6, verse 53 to 69. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the liveth me, even he shall live by me. Tell your neighbor, say, eat Jesus. Say, eat Jesus. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. This thing said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can bear it? Another version says, when his disciples heard this, many of them said, this is a hard and difficult and strange saying, an offensive and unbearable message. Who can stand to hear it? Who can be expected to listen to such teaching? You have the Spirit of God. You can hear anything, and the Lord will raise you up in Jesus' name. When Jesus knew himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord. If you are sure that Christ is that Christ, I say, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. From death to life. You will notice that about 2 weeks ago, I actually told you that I want to speak to you about your life and your ministry. And you will realize that since that time, I've not even been able to talk about your life and your ministry because there are some things that God wished to set in order before you can hear such a message. And I believe that God is preparing his people for the work to come. You know something about the word of God is this: when the word of God comes like this, you have a role as to how you relate to the word of God, because that word of God, that's why God is I am. Those of us who did a bit of science in medicine, I keep telling us, you remember when we started doing the first set of lessons or lectures we had in medicine, we learned about some cells that were called pluripotent cells. In other words, these cells have the ability to become something, whatever it wants to become. It has the ability to divide, to become any of the cells in the body tissue. The word of God is like that. It has the ability and the power to do anything in the life of anyone who we care to believe. And as you believe today, that word will work wonders in your life in Jesus' name. No wonder God says, I am. Because he's ever fresh. He's not, he was. He is, I am. In other words, he's ever fresh. He is able to do anything that is current. It doesn't matter what the situation of your life is. If you hold on to him, he is the I am. He is that pluripotent cell that had the capability and the ability to transform to that thing in your situation and bring something wonderful out of your life in Jesus' name. Christianity is unique in the sense that life is created out of something that does not exist by reason of the power of God. And He can create life out of something that is dead. Everything that needs to be alive in your life that is dead today is called to life in Jesus' name. Jesus is looking for people who will be in relationship with Him. And it's a relationship of a different kind. Until that happens, we have walking corpses all over the place. Can somebody hear that? Until that we come into the right relationship with Jesus, what happens is that we have walking corpses all on the streets who think that they are alive. That is why it is possible to come to church. You see, I keep saying it every day, and yet not make the transition from death to life. But for you, from today, you are making that transition from death to life in Jesus' name. If we go to the earlier verses of the passage we read in John 6, 26 and 27, he said, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that God For him had God the Father sealed. In other words, even among people who gathered with Jesus on that day, the Bible refers to them as the mixed multitude. The what? The mixed multitude. They came again to Jesus, not because they want to bear testimony to the work, but because they want to gratify their immediate needs. Anyone who comes to God because they want to gratify their immediate need cannot go far with Him. And my prayer for you is that you are going to go far with the Lord in Jesus' name. It's the life of the mixed multitude. Jesus said to them, He said, you come not because you want to be a testimony to the work that God is doing, but you have come because I fed you the last time and I will feed you again. In other words, they were not able to make the transition from the physical to the level of the spiritual. You cannot come to this church and remain where you used to be. Something has to happen. Something has to change in your life. And it's going to change from today in Jesus' name. Going back to where we read, verse 56. He says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. And I told you that it's a relationship. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. It's a relationship. It's a relationship of embedding in the Lord. In other words, God is saying, you have to get embedded in me. And what happens is that once you get embedded in the Lord, you are going to lose you and gain Him. You are going to lose you and you are going to gain Jesus. That is the way of life in heaven. That the individual becomes lost because the relationship in heaven is that of embedment where you cannot make one out of the other. How do I know? Open your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 1. Open your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 1. No wonder Jesus said, when you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you become embedded in me so that we become one in unison. He said that is the way we can have, you know, the quality of life that is expected in Christ Jesus. Let me quickly read to us, because the way heaven is arranged is that it's difficult to make one out of the other. Ezekiel 1, 15 to 18. He said, Then now, as I was still looking at the living creatures, I saw one wheel upon the ground beside each of the living creatures with its four faces. As to the appearance of the wheels and their construction in appearance, they gleam like chrysolites. And the four were formed alike, and their construction was, as it were, a wheel within what? A wheel within the wheel. Can you imagine what it is like when you have a wheel within the wheel? It begins to turn. You are not able to make out one from the other. He could see that there were four wheels there, but they are embedded in one. And Jesus is saying, if we are going to partake of the kingdom, we have to come into him and he into us in a way that, you know, we begin to roll together as one in unison. And when they went one of their four directions without turning, for they were faced that way. As for their rims, they were so high that they were dreadful. And the four had their rims full of eyes round about. Ezekiel saw into heaven. He saw the glory of God. He saw the arrangement of heaven. That there was embedment. That those who are going to live godly have to be embedded. No wonder he says he's grafted us in the palm of his hand. Because that's the way heaven lives. We were told this morning that we are a family. That the church is a family. Because God is producing people who are alike. He is the manufacturer. When we are all embedded in him, there's no way that one will be different from the other. Something will begin to show, something will begin to indicate the presence of Jesus in our lives. We become so embedded in him that we lose all the mundane motives. Our thinking faculty changes. Our aspiration starts to change. Our priority starts to change. We become so embedded in him that we become untouchable from the power of the enemy. Because what it means is this: if anyone wants to reach you, they first of all have to kill your God. And he lives forevermore. You become so embedded in him. You see, Ezekiel said he looked dreadful. Praise the Lord. You know, we like to paint pictures of beauty and so on and say, no, God, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. But when Ezekiel saw what he did not see before, the kind of thing that you cannot imagine, can you imagine wheels in a wheel with eyes in different directions and moving in four different directions at the same time? Who has ever seen that kind of thing? How can the mind of a man comprehend that? He said, it was terrible. Every situation that torments your life, the Lord will show that he's terrible to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Embedded in him, your survivor is no longer how much you can spend. It's no longer of your own. But God takes over. He will take over for you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it is because a lot of people and in churches, people are not embedded in the Lord, that we have to put a spin on our messages. We have to put a spin on messages to bring people to Christ, and they don't really know who they are believing. They don't really know who they are coming to. But I can tell you something, when we show faithfulness to the Lord, God will show us his faithfulness. I keep telling us, you see, we should serve God as if our life depends on him, and our life does depend on him. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 verse 4. Paul was writing there because he knew his God. He knew whom he was serving. He said he had no reason to put spin. He said he had to present the gospel so that those who are running will run into him. Those who know that they are tired of life will run into Jesus. Ephesians 4:14, he says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Another version says, so then we may no longer be children tossed like sheep to and fro between sans gods of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting from form of trickery, in inventing errors to mislead. In other words, the kingdom of God is not based on human strategy. It's based on the power of the word of God. And he will show you his power in Jesus' name. I say that power will become manifest in your life in Jesus' name. Oneness with him is a relationship. Is a life-transforming relationship. Verse 57 says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. What Jesus is saying is this. The Greek word there is Zoe, the life-giving Father. Zoe is the life-giving Father. He said that when you come into him, you begin to live by the Father. You no longer live by yourself. In other words, there's going to be a flow of life. The flow of life of Jesus automatically just flows into you, into your life. And you begin to live by Jesus. He becomes a requirement for your daily sustenance. No man is. You know, the scientists will tell you, you need this level of vitamin D, vitamin B. You need that level of folic acid. You need this level of carbohydrates to survive in a day. You need this level of fats. You need this level of protein. And I'm telling you that Jesus becomes, you know, your sustenance. I'm not talking about physical food now. As much as you need food and you love life so much, you are going to live and need him and want him and love him. He becomes your portion in the land of the living. He becomes someone you cannot do without because you live by him. Oh, I love. Let's go to Psalm 82. I mean Psalm 84, verse 2. The psalmist was one person who knew that his life derived from the Lord. That every he depended totally on the Lord. He depended on daily miracle. I depend on the Lord daily for my miracle. Daily miracle, you know. That's why when I tell people, I say, look, you see, I don't believe that my existence is based on my ability to plan and to execute. My existence depends on what God chooses to do with my life. Look at Psalm 84 verse 2. It says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. In other words, I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I want him so badly. I need him. Without him, it's like life is being taken away from me. In other words, I'm greedy for him. I just want him. I just want the totality of him embedded in me. When you begin to get to that point, you know that you are getting serious with God. I'm not a part-time child of God. And you cannot be. Because people who are part-time children of God, they don't have a place in the kingdom. You have a place in the kingdom in Jesus' name. Psalm 63, 1-8. Let me read that to you too. You are going to enjoy it. He said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. In other words, he said, God, I'm in love with you. At night, I cannot sleep. I dream of your goodness. God, without you, let me tell you, let me give you an example. I remember when I used to cut my wife in those days, there were no telephones. Those of us who know Ilorin, I will have to go from doctor's quarters to maternity. One time she then moved. When she finished her school, she went to Kaba. And I'm telling you, there were some days that I will be thinking of her, and then she will arrive. She had no phone to tell me that she was coming and she will arrive. When you are in love with God, He cannot but show His presence. The problem is that we are not in love with Him well enough. We are not consumed by His presence well enough. That is why we don't see the glory of the Lord. When we begin to get consumed by His presence, by His glory, by a passion wells up inside of us, God will show up, and God will show up in your life in Jesus' name, because He has that ability. He has that ability to transform and translate a life from death to life. When that life becomes embedded in Him, and your life will be embedded in Him in Jesus' name. You know what? Christians are no longer getting drunk with the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't preach. That's why we don't witness to people. I've asked this question before. How many of us have ever been drunk before? How many? You've never been drunk. And there are good people in the house, oh. What a wonderful church. Praise. Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Except me. Me, I've been drunk many times before. Praise the Lord. So you've never been drunk. What a wonderful people. Me, I've been drunk, oh. And one of the things, the hallmark of when I used to be drunk, is that I couldn't stop myself what I wanted to say. I would talk. I would bore you out. I would talk. I wouldn't. I know I don't want to say it, but I keep talking. That's why the Bible says, be ye drunk not with wine, wherein excess, but be ye drunk with what? With the Holy Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit is inside of you and you are drunk with the Holy Spirit, you cannot keep quiet. If you ever seen a drunk, it's because we are not drunk. Have you ever seen a drunk man feel ashamed? A drunken man ever feel ashamed? He doesn't feel ashamed. He talks. Oh, I remember the story of this drunken people. You know, he was just courting this girl, and they went there, and they were really drunk. And you know, in Nigeria, light can often be taken away. And so when they went to visit this family, they were really drunk, and the parents, they fried meat and gave it to them. I mean, they fried meat and just put it on the table. They hadn't said, they were trying to bring water before they tell them it's their meat, you know. This guy was drunk, and light went. And as soon as light went, he started eating the meat and was saying to his friend, he said, do you know, mumu meji meji. He said, I was taking it two by two. And the father-in-law said, it's for you. Praise the Lord. When you are drunk, honestly, you don't know what you are doing. It's because we are not drunk with Christ. That's why little things begin to matter to us. The drunken man will say what he wants to say. He is not in control. What controls him? What controls him? The wine in him. If we are drunk with the Spirit of God, what is going to be controlling us? The Spirit of God will control us. Because it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. No wonder. Peter said in John 6, 67 and 68, the place we read, because he's been drunk with the presence of the living God, he said, where shall we go? Where? When everyone was leaving, they said it was too hard. He said, where are we going to go? He said, for you have the word of eternal life. Everyone else may go from the Lord. I will not go. We will wait on the Lord. We'll wait on the Lord. No one, you see, the psalmist said, and I like this particular part. He said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Many of us don't know. You see, these children, they are missing out on some things because they don't even eat bones. When you've eaten the meat surrounding the bones and you crack it open, you know the marrow inside. You just so much enjoy it. And the psalmist said, he said, look,
Your mother may be calling you, your dad may be calling you. You are so busy with the bone. You are so preoccupied with it. It's so wonderful. And he said, that is who God is to me, that I get preoccupied with the Lord. Before I read my scientific book, I will have read the Bible 3 times, I'm telling you. That is how much I'm preoccupied with him. You know what? When you start to become preoccupied with the Lord, you know, that shared life with him, because you are so much embedded in him, leads to more multiplicity in the kingdom. I told us that's why we are shy. We are not looking at multiplicity. No, it's not. That's why we don't want to even go out and talk to somebody about him. It leads to multiplicity. It's not possible that you are a child of God who is drunk with him and you just keep it to yourself. Look at John 6:40. He says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So everyone who sees the Son. Now, look at it this way. If you are embedded in the Lord, so when you come to somewhere, when you go to somewhere, and people see you, who are they seeing? Because you are already hidden him. And he's saying, everyone who sees the Son and they believe in him, they have everlasting life. In other words, when you anywhere, any environment you are in, you have to be a dispenser of everlasting life. And how can people believe when no one is preaching to them? I've said it over and over, over and over again. The problem with the church today is that we keep recycling. You know, when church, when we have something to do, we often invite people from other churches. We keep recycling members. Nobody is discipling the unsaved. It's those that somebody has saved that we all are looking out for. I mean, those that somebody had preached to and they became saved, we keep looking out for them. The Christian of today, we are lazy Christians. Did somebody hear that? We are what? Lazy Christians. We behave like people of the mixed multitude. What do the mixed multitude do? They come not to be a testimony, but to do what? To be fed like the 5,000 and the 4,000. That's the attitude of the mixed multitude. They come not to be a testimony, but you have come so that you can go and be a testimony. When a child of God is not bearing testimony of the God he serves, then they is that life that draws people to Christ? Is that life that draws people to Christ? Let's look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. From death to life. Somebody is moving from death to life today in Jesus' name. Not the not life as you know it. Not just life as you know it. I'm telling you, if it's healing. I listened to somebody's testimony a while ago, and he said, a renowned man of God. He said, look, when they were young, you know, one of his friends just came to him and said, please, let's start to pray for a life partner. And the man turned to him, he said, you need life partner. Let me pray for you. He said, as for me, I'm not praying for life partner. I know what I want. He said, because he knew that there's only one thing that is needful. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he prayed for that brother. And lo, the one who prayed for the brother got his own life partner before that brother got his own. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and God will show you his faithfulness in Jesus' name. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. And he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses all from all sin. So, in other words, when we are embedded in him, you know, daily he cleanses us. Daily he renews us. Daily he empowers us. Daily he envisions us. Daily he enables us. And one way you will know that you are being enabled is when you go, when you look at your ability to represent him in love. Your ability to represent him in love will testify to how much you are embedded in him. I'm not talking about make believe. I've told you before, some people say, why don't just call him so that they won't have to say your own. No, I don't call people so that come and read me. So that's not it. If I call you, I call you because I love you. If I do something for you, I do something for you because I love you, not because I don't want people to have my own to say. Who is man where God is speaking? God can choose to take their voice away. Praise the Lord. Lastly, when we are embedded in him, the walking corpses become quickened. Because without him, we are nothing. We are walking corpses without him. It's the presence of God in our lives that makes the difference. That's why the Bible says, that's why the Bible says in verse 63 where we read, it said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. God that I speak to you, their spirit and their life, is the Spirit that quickeneth. Oh, when a child of God is walking in error and begins to build again what he used to destroy, then he's a walking corpse. It's the Spirit of God that quickens that person, that makes you able to repent, that gives you a change of heart, that makes you to say, look, the way I'm going, look, people who don't have the Spirit of God, they never know to turn back from their errors. The Spirit of God will quicken you in Jesus' name. He said, when you still live in sin, in other words, envy, slander, all those things, is they are indications of death. It makes one walking corpse. He said, the Spirit of God is opposed to death because that is of the devil. So, he then quickens you. He takes you out of that place. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37 as we close. Ezekiel 37 is the valley of the dry bone, is the valley of the dead bone. When he came in contact, when he came in contact with the Word of God, you see, there's a lot of when we read this particular passage, the message we get there often is quite different from what I'm going to tell you today. Look at it this way. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'll just read some of those verses there. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Of course, you know the meaning of valley. When you are in the valley of life, when it looks like there is no solution, when things are terrible, when situation becomes hopeless, he said the Spirit of the Lord took him there, and the valley was full of dry bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Irrespective of what your situation may be right now, let me tell you, don't let the world scare you away. You hold the authority. I say you hold the power. You hold the Word of God. The Word of God, you are going to speak to your situation, and it's going to turn things around for your good in Jesus' name. Sometimes you get to some places and you are walking in a place and it looks like some people just don't like your God for something. Where is the word that God has given you? We panic so much so that we forget that we've got the word of life. Speak into your situation. And he says, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know something about the word of the Lord is this. Stones can hear. Praise the Lord. Trees can hear. The earth can hear. Heaven can hear. The living can hear. He said, prophesy to this bone. And say what? To the bones? Hear the word of the Lord. It's not my word. He said, hear the word of the Lord. That is why somebody's circumstance will change for good from today in Jesus' name. Because it is the word of the Lord. He said, just hear the word of the Lord. Cells hear the word of the Lord. The heart can hear the word of the Lord. The kidneys can hear the word of the Lord. The brain can hear the word of the Lord. The womb can hear the word of the Lord. He said, hear the word of the Lord. That is why everything that is dead in you that needs to be alive will come alive today in Jesus' name. Because it's the word of the Lord. He said, hear the word of the Lord. He said, thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause bread to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesy. You see, why did Ezekiel have to speak first? I keep telling us, I say, our faith is a speaking faith. If the way your enemy can defeat you is if they take your voice away. If you are not able to confess the word of faith, you are in trouble. Confess the word of faith. First, he spoke to the bone. He said, look, this is what God says. He said, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to breathe the breath of life into you. I'm going to give you flesh again. I'm going to bring cartilages upon you. I'm going to make blood to flow. I'm going to cause this to happen in your life. And he began to make pronouncements. Can somebody make pronouncements to issues of their lives? Because they hear. They will hear you today in Jesus' name. You are not speaking your own word. You are speaking the word of the living God. And that circumstance has to change in Jesus' name. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together. Bone to his bone. Do you know what? Sometimes when you begin to speak the word of the Lord, it looks like the confusion is getting bigger. It looks like there's more commotion. It looks like your life is being turned upside down. This man, he doesn't go away without putting up a fight. He said there was confusion in the place. There was a big noise. Because there has to be a big noise when there's a rearrangement. God will rearrange your fortune for good in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a rearrangement. All of the things that have been scattered, God brought them in line. He will bring your destiny in line in Jesus' name. Amen. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. What a sight to behold. Can you just imagine? You just see skin just moving by itself and suddenly just covering bones. And you see bones moving. And you see flesh moving. And you see blood being poured into somebody. And you just see this multitude of dead corpses all over the place. Because there was no breath in them. And God said, then he said he unto me, prophesy unto the winds. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. In other words, their situation starts to change gradually, from nothing to something. First, there were no skins, no flesh, no blood, and suddenly you saw corpses, and then those corpses, he said, prophesied to the four winds, and he prophesied to the four winds, and the wind, the breath of the Lord came upon them, because by the breath of his nostril, he made you in the first place. And those people began to rise. Somebody will rise from today in Jesus' name. I say somebody's destiny is beginning to rise today in Jesus' name. I keep telling you, I say, look, you are, as a child of God, let me tell you something. You may not start fanciful, but God will make you fanciful. That is why the little you do, when God chooses to bless it, he will raise you up. Because you are going to excel by reason of who is in you. He said, like a wheel in a wheel. Like a wheel in a wheel. You cannot behold God and not, you know, when Moses beheld him, he saw something he's never seen before. He will attract your attention. you will attract the world's attention in Jesus' name. Not for crime, but for fame. Because the people, you have to stand and look. He saw the bush burning. He was not consumed. He said, I've never seen this before. Let me look properly. When Ezekiel saw the four wheels, he had to look at it. I said, God, what is this? He has something in stock for you. He has something in your life that eyes have never seen nor ears had before. That is the glory of the Lord. It will be made manifest in your life in Jesus' name. Can somebody just rise up? Thank you, Jesus. From death to life, somebody is coming alive today in Jesus' name. Somebody's body cell is coming alive today in Jesus' name. Somebody's business is coming alive today in Jesus' name. Somebody's intellect is coming alive from today in Jesus' name. Somebody's finances is coming alive from today in Jesus' name. And I say somebody's marriage is coming alive from today in Jesus' name. Somebody's womb is coming alive from today in Jesus' name. Somebody's children is coming alive today in Jesus' name. The work of somebody's hand is coming alive from today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Oh, blessed be your name, oh God. Thank you for your word today. Because we know that there is power in that word. The ability to create. The ability to renew. The ability to bring to life that which is dead. My Lord and my God, even as your word has come, your people will find you to be so in Jesus' name. Lord, they will not be of the mixed multitude, but they become a testimony of your goodness. They are released to the world to do exploits in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Your lives are not ordinary lives. Your lives are lives that have been touched by the hand of the Almighty God. You are working miracles. I say you are working miracles. Anyone who by the design of their hands have ceased to partake of that life of bliss, from this moment onward, your joy is renewed in Jesus' name. Amen. I say your life is renewed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we say the grace in fellowship? May the grace